Chuck, I'm gonna miss you, buddy. Fuck Winnipeg. I can't hold it anymore.
Welcome to episode 163 of Three in the Box.
Oh man, it was moving.
Your Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, April 23rd. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about playoffs, icebreakers, and Fletch returns.
Or leaves.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, yeah. I had caps locks on, so I figured
I had to do that. You know, there's a button for that, right? You can turn it off again?
It's really hard to figure out, you know. Lights and stuff, you know.
Sticky ship button.
Yes. In the studio with me, as always, is Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And Mr. Jive.
Yoo-hoo, hey.
And we got a guest.
Hey, I just gate crashed.
Gate crasher.
Neighbors.
Neighbors. wait.
Won't you be my neighbor?
You got to look up and I got to look down.
Neighbors.
All right. Just for the video's sake, you know.
What's up?
It's like Brady Bunch, you know?
That's true.
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
So what happens when you live 5 minutes away from me?
You know, you made it here faster than Jive normally does.
Oh, Jive time.
Hey.
That's one. One reference.
I live a lot further away.
How far away is La La Land?
Hey. I've come back down to earth now.
I'm just happy it's finally getting warm out here.
That's true.
You know, a week ago we had a foot of snow, and now me and Kenny were out biking yesterday. There was flowers blooming.
Hey, let's check. Oh, he's not in shorts.
I was in shorts yesterday.
No excuses. You should have been today.
I was in the office, you know. Give me some slack here, you know.
He's still corporate Aaron right now.
I suppose.
Yes, I don't have my collar on, but, you know. So, yeah. It's warm out.
It is.
Season's over, I guess. So, there's that.
So I got my first...
Elephant in the room here, you know.
Yeah, I got my first sunburn of the season already.
You know. Dusted off the golf clubs.
He fell asleep outside.
Well, falling asleep anywhere?
Football games, yeah.
I would fall asleep watching football, too.
Nah. It was good. Sitting out in the sun, though, it felt so good and warm.
So for our New Zealand friend over here, football means... Not a ball you kick around, but like an oblong thing that you throw.
I'm well aware of American football, dude.
It,
20 years.
I call that hand egg.
Hand egg.
I understand that you do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Anything without a puck is...
Baseball is all right, but that's a proper sport, too.
That's true. Yeah.
Unless you're Queen's English, then it's cricket.
No, it's rounders, I believe. Rounders. But that's how they dismiss baseball, because rounders is not a proper sport in England. So
rounders doesn't count.
No. So yeah, I don't know where this conversation is going.
I don't even know
where it started. Honestly,
something about you falling asleep
and the snow thawing and
sunburn.
It's warm out. It's spring. You know, we should be out playing golf.
Like the wild.
You know.
Get your reservations made now because the hockey players are coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So should we just talk about it?
Yeah, let's talk about what happened.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it.
All right.
So, wrapping up the final week of the wild season here.
Coming into last week's episode, we were on such a high.
We were on a high. The Wild had just won at home.
You guys are betting against me that the Wild are like...
Things were looking up.
This is going to be great.
Now we
got
each,
this.
Now we each owe you a shot of Buka. Okay. All right. We got this. But yeah, so the Wild, you know, at home against the Jets, after, you know, basically, you know, owning the game, the previous game where they blew out the Jets 6-2, you know, the Wild come in and then they get shut out by the Jets, and lose 2-0 here at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, Parisi has been out here now though for this game, you know, due to an injury the previous game. So that kind of maybe had a little bit to do with it.
Broken sternum or something.
Don't worry about it. But hey, Jive, sorry. I kind of forgot. We can't let Aaron not get away with this. He's got a t-shirt he has to wear the entire episode.
All right.
Okay.
So someone's got to do some play-by-play here.
It's still got tagged. There's still a tag on there.
Yeah.
That means I can still return it and make Patrick money.
So Aaron lost a 3-in-the-box fantasy hockey challenge, power play challenge.
Oh my God.
Because of that, he has to wear Patrick Kane shirt.
His favorite player.
I guarantee either one of my two daughters would pay good money for that t-shirt.
Well,
He's dreaming.
That
buffalo blood.
Yeah. I love that commercial he's in where he...
With the fucking gay right away? Oh, no.
It's horrible, isn't it?
I saw bottles with Kane on it. And it was like bottles of Gatorade with Kane printed on it. I was like, this is the grossest thing. It probably tastes like urine. You know?
It was rather yellow.
It tastes like what cabbies smell like.
Dimes.
So there you go. So we've got Kane.
How does it feel?
On the
dirty.
On the ice here now with 3-in-the-box.
Yep.
You guys just better watch your rear ends as you're leaving the place here.
No means no.
Don't get me in a cab.
Yeah. Frosty, hashtag me too, right?
So back to the Wild.
back to reality here.
Back to the Wild week that was, where the Wild were closing out their season here. They got shut out by the Jets here at home. You know, Parisi was out for the game, and you know, so I mean, Lady Luck obviously was not in the Wild's corner here.
It was not Luck.
Okay, you know, so but I mean, losing at home where they had been, you know, good really all season long, they had been pretty solid at home.
Yeah,
it kind of just spelled out disaster.
True.
With Parisi and Suter being absent. You know, might have having them in the lineup, you know, do you guys think that might have changed the outcome a little bit?
Okay, I was sitting in a suite watching the game and...
Oh.
Sorry.
I like how you dropped that.
Oh, good for you.
I should say I was watching the game. Thanks, Christine.
Gentlemen, I awesome. Found our next sponsor.
I was eating gold bars.
Yeah, I was eating gold bars and drinking Pure Furious. No, I mean, honestly, there was nothing they could do. I mean, they played hard. The fourth line was really rock solid, filling in any gaps, but I don't think Suter could have made the difference.
Well, what about Parisi? Because Parisi was out too.
No, they were driving as hard as they could, regardless of who's on there. I mean, I don't think Parisi's the kind of superstar that can make that amount
big
of difference.
Impact? Okay.
No.
He can make it as part of a whole.
But what about him just as out there as a leader?
I honestly can't speak to the leadership factor of it, but they bust their asses that whole game. And
they had chances.
They were whacking away, and they.
And for
the elephant in the room is that fucking shitty call on the cross check on Stahl.
On Stahl,
yeah,
because that was early and
the non call,
and they could have changed the game. They could have 44 minutes.
complex.
LaPanta said they could have had 44 minutes without that defenseman.
They would have been a 5-5 D crew.
Imagine that.
And he also assisted on one of the goals.
He did.
Yeah.
And it would have been a 5-on-3.
Immediately after, actually. Yeah.
Take him out of the equation. What do you get? I mean,
it changes.
You get a change.
Yeah. And that's not, that's something you can't go back and change.
You can't.
No.
You know,
which I find is, you know, really, I think is the most ridiculous thing is that the ref is like, I'm sorry I missed that. But you know what? I don't understand how you can't call that after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, if you missed it, why can't you call that a couple minutes later? There's no harm in that.
I'm totally with you on that. There's so many other sports where they have multiple referees. Like, okay, you've got two refs and two linesmen on the ice, right? Plus you got the dudes in Toronto or even locally.
Well, that's not even counting the goal judges and everybody else.
Right? Okay, so you've got all these factors locally, right, who are watching the game. You look at other sports that play, like rugby league, they have the ability to, you let the play go, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then if something comes up, if there's a stoppage of play, the referees have the ability to go back to the TV officials, to the match officials who are watching it elsewhere, and say, look, okay, we let this play go. What happened on this offside or what happened on this call? And they can go back and they can call the penalty retroactively.
Sure.
And they can make it happen. They don't do that.
Why is it that the only people that can make a call are the people that are on the ice or on the field?
Immediately.
That is the most ridiculous thing. It's like there should be someone allowed to be in a booth or off ice that can go, okay, there was there was something that happened. There needs to be justice because of that.
Exactly.
And we can let's dial it back, you know?
Yep. So you've got a television match official who's watching it, who can call up the ref, put it in his ear, and say, look, next stoppage, let's go back, let's have a look at this penalty.
Right.
And then we can play it
Keep them in for at least the play and then take them out after the fact.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, why can they go through, look at that, and all of a sudden give a suspension for it because it should have been called, but not
on the ice at that time.
Not even like 5 minutes later. Why is that not a thing where they can call it 5 minutes after the fact or 3 minutes after the fact, but after the game ends, after he's made other plays during that game, can they call it then?
You would be introducing a huge gray area as part of the problem. It becomes basically like when they implemented a while back, and I think they've all been pulled back now, but if you remember, they had the cameras on, like, the stoplights and stuff, catching people going through red lights or things like that. You know, it becomes kind of like that where, you know, you review something later, hey, you went through a red light. You know, there was no cop present, no cop saw it, but you went through a red light. We caught you on camera. Now, that's been deemed unconstitutional, but, you know, taking a look at this, I mean, you're going to introduce a whole gray area because, you know, how many stoppages are we going to have where, you know, we got to go back and take a look and was that actually a trip? Was he, you know...
I
faking the you know, was he taking a dive?
I agree with you on that. There are a lot less stoppages in hockey than there would be in a game like rugby or rugby league where it can be reviewed maybe, you know, 3 or 4 minutes after the fact. Whereas hockey, you can often go 10, 12 minutes without a stoppage until they call it, hey, we got to stop for TV.
Yeah.
Right? There's
we got to have a whistle.
There's not the instantaneous, oh, hey, we'll wait for the next stoppage and we'll take a look because that stoppage can take too long and then, you know, things can happen.
But justice delayed even 10 minutes is still justice.
And that's still better than letting him play the entire game.
Right. It is. But
And Jive, to your point, I think the gray area has already been infiltrated with having the replay being available as an option where a coach can challenge a replay.
On the offside.
You're talking you're talking like a literally a 30th or a 60th if they're watching 30 frames or 60 frames per second, that skate is over the line. That is not real-time accuracy. They're looking at this
then
stuff
Then maybe we take it back like that and allow a penalty to be challenged as well.
Well, somewhat.
Either that something is a penalty or that something isn't a penalty. How often have we seen where, you know, there's something that's, you know, gets called on a player and it's like, oh, come on now, really? And,
yeah,
you know, it's, you know, but it's how the ref saw it and it's called and put in the box. That can have just as big of a change on a game, going down a man, you know, putting another team on the power play. I think are we going to be able to challenge that stuff?
There's a difference between official initiated changes and team
coach initiated.
Right. If the officials are doing it, and you know, you have an off-ice official who's initiating that challenge or change to what the call on the ice was, I don't see a problem there. I mean, mm-hmm.
So then really we should get the coach's review or coach's challenge completely out of there.
I think we should be
having somebody, an off-ice official monitoring the games. And you know,
that's not a hard thing to do.
Actually, no, it's not.
They started doing it.
And when the goal is scored, they're going to just... Yeah.
They already started doing it. Toronto started reviewing everything with goaltender interference now. The NHL already stepped up and is going to start taking place during the playoffs, but they actually implemented it before the playoffs even hit.
So maybe we just leave it.
Almost like the NFL where they'll review every scoring play. It's like other sports where they'll review every scoring play. But in other sports, okay. I say keep the coach's challenge in there. That's valuable because if the coach really feels that they see something that should be changed or at least reviewed, they have the right to say that. But you have the television match official in the ear of the referee while they're playing, while they're skating, while they're calling the game, saying, oh, hang on, I saw this occur behind the, you know, 20 yards behind the play on the blue line as Toronto was coming up against Boston. They did this. It's something to keep in mind for the referee, so then if the next penalty that occurs, they can go back and review it.
Right.
I think there needs to be... I mean, it's working in other sports. In other professional sports, it's working to do it that way.
Well, I can tell you that that's... Well, actually, I can't even... I shouldn't even be saying this, but I do know that some of the off-field officials are getting broadcast feeds into their headsets with the NFL, so they're hearing what some of the broadcasters are saying.
Yeah. Sure.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the NHL was the same way, where they're actually, because, I mean, you know, it's another set of eyes that are looking at the situation, and they want to kind of know how people are feeling about stuff with calls.
Yeah.
Nothing like a million eyes on a play.
Can't hurt.
I don't know. The whole thing, though, is infuriating because, I mean, seriously, if it's bad enough that it has to get to a suspension, there should have been something that was called, especially if an official had apologized to the player that was infractured upon that, you know, there's got to be some sort of ground in there where it's like, you know, he apologized. He saw it after the fact. He got suspended after the fact. He should have been booted out of that game for at least after that period break.
But how many slow-mo views did Toronto have to go through to get to the point like...
That's referee...
A game and a half. Oh, no. So since it was only like this, that takes off a half a game suspension.
Fact that the referee apologized to stall about it means that he had seen a replay of it.
Well, yeah, and he missed it. But that's the thing.
I mean, the current system means that he can't. There's nothing he can do after the fact.
And that's the argument here. Yeah. Why can't he go back and say, you know what, I missed that. I saw it on the replay. He's gone now for the game.
All right. So here we go from LaPanta. He said a couple of days ago, he said, unfortunately, the Department of Player Safety does not have the ability to go back in time and require the Jets to play two men short for a minute and a half, a man short for 5 minutes, and a defenseman short for 44 minutes of game time, as should have been the case. You can't go back. You can only wish that the call was made at the point in time. But
that's why you need to either allow the refs to go back, or has someone off ice that can it can see. Because anyone who's watching that could see it, and it was blatant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's part of the problem.
That place are
but the puck had already started moving, and I'm not saying that I agree with, like...
No, I get it.
But the puck had already started moving up the ice. So, you know, if a ref's attention turns away some other direction, I mean, that's kind of part of the game, and it could go in either team's favor.
But, really. But why couldn't you have a guy off ice just to watch him this
but
stuff?
But you've got another ref and two linesmen. I mean, they're all three.
And the linesmen are allowed to call penalties. Yeah. If a referee misses a blatant call, the linesmen are allowed to call a penalty like that.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have an honest question, though, is how much is being on the ice actually advantageous? Because if anyone's been at a game when you're really close to the ice, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's actually harder to see what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're a couple rows up, it's actually a little easier to see what's going on. You've
got a lot better bird's eye view.
Right.
So really what it is they should have an official...
Off ice.
Off ice, up
yep.
a little yeah. bit higher, sit able up. To see, you know, see it across the whole
yeah.
view of the ice, not just... I mean, it's yeah. almost tunnel vision, basically, where the refs are at.
Yeah,
like, you know,
I don't think anyone's really faulting them for missing it.
Yeah,
because you know, it can be tough.
We all hate them for missing it.
We may hate them, but it
happens.
You know, depending on their positioning or the other players, you know, that's part of the problem of them being on the ice.
They're humans.
And they're humans.
And another, they're Dan's or Brad's.
Another case for AI.
And get rid of anybody named Dan or Brad.
That's true. Or Tim.
Or Tim.
Yep.
Ooh, I'm gonna call my AI ref bot.
That's
beautiful. I'm gonna call him Dan.
Dan bot?
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously we can't change what happened.
Man, that dead horse got beaten, didn't it?
That Dan horse?
All right, so yeah, then moving on, I mean, the Wild went on to Winnipeg.
And sucked.
Yeah, the things just...
They didn't help themselves.
The wheels had fell off the bus.
Wheels on the bus go down and down.
And round and down the way, and the bus goes off into the ditch.
Right.
So
they
off
got,
a cliff.
They got routed.
Too bad their plane didn't in Duluth. Too soon?
What is this? Is this...
A little bit...
Is this
sorry, bit... I go dark here. I am wearing a Cane shirt, so
is this...
don't make me throw dimes at you.
So should we have gotten the Russian plane on a locomotive for Winnipeg?
Ooh, okay, now that's
come on, man. That's hockey history. You fucking with.
So yeah, the Wild go up to Winnipeg. They get routed there to end their season.
I thought it said rooted. Sorry, looking at notes.
Data or data? Okay, so, but again, they were kept off of the scoreboard. They get blown out 5-0. Dubnyk was chased from the net early, giving up, what, 4 goals? You know, I don't know. I can't remember how many... minutes in they were, but it was within the first period.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah.
Not that I think that he received a lot of help from his teammates at that point, but it just was not going the Wild way.
Now, Kenny and I were up at the official bar of Three in the Box Sporties.
And so was I.
And you were too? Yeah, you showed up.
Showed up on drive time?
Yeah. No.
Oh my God, you were early.
I was on time.
It was like, all of a sudden this guy rolls up and is like, whoa, Jive's here. And then we proceeded to play Yakety Sax for...
Every period.
Every period.
So,
official Wild shutout song, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so down go the Wild, a horrible end of the season.
Mm.
I'm sure we'll get into a lot of this stuff later where we're, you know, when we get into all the Twitter questions that we've got here. But, you know, what piece of the Wild team this season do you guys think, you know, maybe could have been changed that might have improved the outcome of our season? Is there like one key piece that you guys can kind of point out that you would think might have made a better difference for us?
You know, I'm gonna say that the one thing that the Wild lacked was offensive consistency. You look at the beginning of the season, who was our top goal scorer through six games?
Zucker.
Dumba.
No.
It was
Chris Stewart.
Chris Stewart.
Yeah, that's right.
You remember that.
Right. Now I do.
Stewie. Yeah.
So.
And where was he at the end of the season?
Calgary.
He disappeared.
No, he wasn't even in Calgary's bench. He was done.
Right. Released by GMCF. Yeah. Right.
So I think the lack of consistency
put on waivers
throughout the season has hurt, with the exception of Staal, because Staal has actually been remarkably consistent.
He tied Gavrik for most goals in a season.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna. There obviously there's no blame put on him, but one as we see with other teams, whether it's Washington with Ovechkin or even Crosby or Kane, one player does not make a team.
Doesn't make the whole team.
You know, so
it's a team sport.
So look at the other teams that have had high goal scorers. What's been the difference between the top goal scorer and the next in line?
They have a.
It's not been like 20 points. Like no, it like it was the Wild.
No,
right?
You have another guy who's remarkable.
You have a very good supporting cast.
Yeah, yes. Like not shouting the Bruins, but I mean they're a good example. Like Bergeron, they got Marchand. They've had a whole bunch of youngsters come up and start scoring. So they're. You look at the Wild, and you got Staal, and then who?
Zucker had a good year.
Yeah, but there's almost overall Zucker's like 33 goals. Look at the overall points difference, though.
I mean,
right? Because Stahl's not only been scoring the goals, but he's getting the assists as well.
Right,
right,
right. If you look at a straight points,
it's a big gap.
It's a big gap. Yeah.
So is that the difference? Is that you've got the number one player, right, the superstar.
But you have to have guys dishing it out. You have to have it has to be a balanced thing.
And so points it may not be like the secondary points may not be necessarily this dude's been scoring all the goals.
Sure.
But how many assists have been thrown at? And it's been like hit or miss for the Wild.
Well, and you do need to have your lines score, all four of your lines score, which I think we have seen at times where the Wild, when they've been on their winning streaks, you've been seeing points and goals from all four of their lines, and everybody's been capitalizing.
Sure.
But then all of a sudden it goes into a drought, and I don't know why, because it's not like there's been major line changes. There's
every day there's been line changes.
yeah,
but it hasn't
nothing major. True.
It hasn't been.
In fairness, this team has been prepped for line changes, and Boudreau actually went in going. That's how I want my team to be built, is so that they can weather those changes.
I want everybody to be able to play with everybody else and know how they're going to play. And I mean, 101 points this season is nothing to laugh at. I mean, that's not a bad season.
No, regular
season.
I'd call it shit hot.
And we matched up with a team that got 114 points this season. I mean, who was the better team then anyways, really?
But to Chris's point, though, it's like you have Staal, Granlund, Zucker. Those are your top three scorers. You've got two defensemen, Suter and Dumba, and then the next person is Koivu at 45 points. That's 20 whole points behind Zucker.
Yep.
That's a gap. That's a gap.
They're after us.
Just you. That's how you crashed our party.
You bring the Kiwi over and and the cops follow.
See, it wasn't me.
The thing is, your top center, or what, your captain, your top center, Koivu, should be getting way more points than what your top center got for goals.
Yeah, and you got 30 points less than the top center. For points.
Yeah, and he got
30
three more points than your center got for goals.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Koivu should have been contributing a lot more than what he was.
Yep. Or I mean, you could really go down the list. I mean, Koivu, Coyle, Niederreiter, and obviously Parisi missed a big chunk of the season.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
while Parisi was here, you know, this season, I think he was... I know it took him a few games to get back into the swing of things, but he was...
I think he did all right.
Yeah, he was...
Had he played a full season, it would not have been nearly as bad.
He probably would have been a 30-goal season for him.
Right,
50 points, maybe?
Well, I mean, if you just do a straight double, he's still at about Koivu level. And if we're going to...
And he wasn't even at... He played, what, a quarter of the season?
But
no, half.
Theoretically, what's the expectation for Parisi? I mean, are you looking at... Are you looking at a Bergeron level? Are you looking at a Petr Kane? Even though we're paying him that price. Even though Kane had a shitty season, are you looking at a Kane level? Are you looking at... I mean, the top players around the league, like on every team, are you looking at an Ovechkin level? What is the expectation out of Parisi?
Considering it's been a lot. I mean, I guess we should look at his salary because that impacts the team overall as well. And with what he's getting paid, he should be putting up top numbers. Same thing with Suter.
Sometimes it's not always in the numbers, though.
But the thing is, if we're paying a guy, and it's much for the same reason we gave Brodziak a hard time when he was here, is if you're paying someone
to miss the net
X amount, effectively we were with Brodziak, but you know, if you're paying someone a certain amount, you're expecting a certain amount of output. Mm-hmm. And that goes with Parisi, goes with Koivu, goes to Suter. And whether it's fair or not, they're going to get the criticism if they're not the top of the game.
I'll tell you what.
Because they're paid like the top of the game.
I'll tell you what sets Parisi above Koivu level.
He's Minnesotan.
He's going to go and he's going to get in front of the net. And even if he doesn't get a piece of something and tip something in or push something in,
he's going to make shit happen.
Yeah, he's making stuff happen out there. He might not even touch the puck. He might not get a point for it even.
He's at least getting in the dirty areas.
But he's there. I mean, there's something about presence on the ice that, you know, can push that stuff.
It's fair.
And in Koivu's defense, he's a centerman. He's not supposed to necessarily be standing up in front of the net. You know,
right.
He's supposed to be, you know, roaming around, pulling out of the corner, shifting it around and driving it that way. So, I mean, we're talking different positions here as well, too. So, it's not always going to end up being, point for point.
But when you look at what he's getting paid and what he's scoring compared to what Stahl's scoring and what Stahl's getting paid, there's inequities there. If you go straight by points, defense alone does not make up that gap. Can you admit that?
No.
Okay.
I can't admit that.
So you're saying Koivu is rightfully paid accurately compared to, say, Stahl.
Oh, so now you're comparing Koivu and Stahl. Then that's different. I thought we were going to Parisi there, but
Parisi's a winger, I'm going to concede that point. Yeah.
But Koivu to Stahl, they are two different players. Koivu is more of a
two-way
defensive
center.
Stahl, I think, is two-way but leads more towards the offensive side.
Maybe a better question is how many teams have a defensive center as their first center? There's very few teams
not
that do
many, because normally your top center is going to be a scoring center, which is where we're at.
And I mean, you make arguments about the lines, but you know.
Can you even argue that Koivu's the top line centerman now? No, he's not. After this season, no.
Stahl is our top line center.
Yeah.
However, I would, I don't know, people have complained about the contract that Koivu's got. But given the captaincy that he's provided, we've had some shit years. Given the captaincy that he's provided through that period of time and the growth that he's given the youngsters coming up, and God knows there's been a rotation, I think for the money that he's been paid and the captaincy and the leadership that he's provided through those times, you know what? Stop the hate on Koivu. I think he's...
I'm not downing on Koivu.
Saying that you're hating him. I'm just saying in general in the Twitterverse and wherever,
I think if people want to criticize him, I think it's fair.
People want more goals out of the top line cinnamon, sure.
That's Stahl. Stahl is our top line center.
Koivu's been playing second line.
But so Aaron, you brought up like or Jive maybe the You know, your top line center is going to be more scoring. Your second line center is going to be more defensive minded, potentially, right? Am I paraphrasing that right, or am I wrong with saying that?
Sounded pretty good.
I'm just saying that's how Koivu's game works.
Koivu is, his plus minus is a plus 9, which, you know, it's above, but it's not great. Stahl's a plus 8. He's only 1 point behind him for a plus minus, and yet Stahl has way more points than Koivu does,
which is gonna boost his plus minus.
But I mean, if
yeah, I mean,
they will do that. Okay.
Okay. Who are the other scorers that are on the same line as Koivu, though?
Yeah.
Well,
right. Well, what are lines in this team?
Yeah. I mean,
in the Boudreauxian universe.
Outside universe. Of our defensemen for forwards, Nino was a plus 14. Granny was a plus 13. And then everybody else is below that. So Zucker, Coyle were all plus 8s, along with Stahl.
And surreptitiously, we all know that plus minus is a BS statistic.
Yes.
Amen to that.
But you're still on the ice for it.
Right.
Even if you just stepped off of the bench.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that...
It's a meaningful statistic, apparently.
Some guy goes to jump off the ice. God, I'm dying. I know they're rushing back towards our zone.
Dumb.
But I'm dying.
You're screwed.
You go out there and take the minus one.
It doesn't matter if you're outside the power play because those goals don't count, so...
Yep.
That's no, why. They don't. Yeah. And shorthandeds don't count for your plus minus either.
Nope.
Which I would think, you know, that would almost be like a double point.
Yep.
But,
yeah.
Anyways, we're not talking plus minus. I don't know why.
I think we are, actually. Why. But yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
That was my fault.
Speaking of which, let's get into the plus minus stuff.
Yeah.
So, the Wild are minus a GM right now.
Minus.
Ding dong. The witch Fletch is gone. Dead.
Fletch lives. Dead.
Fletch does well, not with the Wild.
Well, he's alive.
He's alive.
Yeah.
So GMCF did not get his contract renewed after the end of the season, even after making the playoffs 6 times in a row.
And he inherited a bad team.
He did.
He made plenty of bad moves, though, as well.
He's also made some good moves.
He's made plenty of bad moves, though.
Yes.
Just
throwing it out there.
Do you gentlemen have the doc in front of you that has his greatest and lesser moves that he's made? Because I'm curious to see what you guys think about what were his best and what were his worst moves overall.
So you got the best and worst moves here. I'm guessing this is from...
This is actually from Russo.
From Russo.
Yeah.
I think just doing a bullet point on the best and worst moves is probably...
From Russo?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, Aaron, you want to say the best moves?
Yeah, I'll start with the best moves. Okay. Dubnyk. Obviously, a great move.
It was a miracle move.
It was a miracle move.
Yep.
That was, yes, one for the history books.
Because we had no money to play with.
Yeah, and
Backstrom, we were stuck with Backstrom for 3 years,
and we had
how many goalies did we go through that year?
And we had a Harding issue because he got MS. He kicked something and broke his leg, and so we had issues in the net.
And yep. Even if you go down to this season, you know, and even into the playoffs, I mean, Dubnyk was solid, aside from. The 4 goals against early on there in the final game.
I think he was lacking some help.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I mean, honestly, his game was looking really good.
Yes.
And, you know, by the time they got to win.
Goaltending was not why we lost this playoff series.
No, nope. It's definitely not.
No. So next one, Nino for Clutterbuck.
And a third round pick.
And a third round pick. Clutterbuck is pretty much fizzled. I mean, he's still Clutterbuck, but he's Clutterbuck. He's a third line, fourth line guy.
Who's the third round pick that we got from?
It does not say.
I don't know.
That might have actually been traded off for somebody else, probably, to be quite honest.
Probably.
I can scroll down and find out.
He probably would have noted who we actually got if it was noteworthy.
But a Nino, straight up Nino...
Nino for Cal is that's a win for us.
I'd lean to Nino.
Yeah, that's a win.
It's pretty good.
I mean, you still... don't get 300 hits a season out of Clutterbuck, but what else did Clutterbuck, what were the peripherals on Clutterbuck?
Well, we could have used something like here. We didn't get any offense out of Koivu right now, did we?
You mean Nino?
Or, yeah.
I know you meant.
Yeah, we didn't,
But Clutterbuck, we're never going to get that offense. I mean, he's just a wrecking ball.
He was like eight goals a season.
Right.
No way, 20 points, woohoo.
He's basically Brodziak, except without the penalty killing ability to punch the puck out of the zone. Yeah. You know?
And the ability to hit the post.
I'm still not sold on Niederreiter either. He's way too streaky and not consistent enough to be,
I think these next two are probably my two favorite.
I don't know. I mean, Nino's had three 20-goal seasons in a row. This is the first year he hasn't hit 20, and he was hurt for almost 20 games. Mm-hmm. That's a solid win for Chuck, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Next one.
So this one and the following are the two that I think are my two favorites that he's done.
Eric Staal has obviously been a huge one.
Right.
I mean, that's Eric Staal is who we wish Vanek would have been coming here.
Yep.
And
so did he get lucky?
Perhaps, you know.
I think he found the right player who wanted the right thing at the right time.
Yeah.
Staal is coming out of a slump year, too.
Well, you also have to think, though, that Staal, if you compare Staal to Vanek, because I think those are pretty easy comparisons, Vanek doesn't have that same physicality that Staal can. Staal is the player we wish Coyle was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's firm, but he's gonna burn you if you don't treat him with respect.
Yeah,
and Coyle's not that player yet. Maybe he will turn to that. I don't know. You could actually even make the same argument about Nino. You want Nino to be that guy, but Staal has proven that he will burn you.
Yeah,
if you forget about him on the ice, he will burn you.
Yep. And at the price that we got him for,
right?
Yep.
I
think we're going to have him for until he's done.
I don't know.
To be honest with you, there's got to be something to be said about his proximity to home, right? To Chunder Bay.
Sure. Chunder Bay.
<There's, laughs> and he has verbalized that, is that he likes being so close to home, right? In a good, stable place. So he doesn't have a hell of a lot of more years in him. I mean...
So,
it could be enough.
And like as brought up earlier, he matched Gabrick's franchise record for most goals in a season. 2 years. So.
Yep.
You got it.
All right, next one. And I think this one's pretty solid as well.
Finding and signing Jared Spurgeon. You know, it's hard to argue with that one.
Yeah, no. Spurgeon has been a solid defense.
I think he had a weak year this year.
He had a...
He was also injured a little bit.
He was hurt,
Which is a common theme here this year. You know, we've had a lot of guys who have been in and out. We didn't
get the normal December injury bug. We get it at the end of the season.
Beginning of the season.
It's been all over.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. And the Wild still managed to finish the season.
101 points.
Yeah, 101 points. So we take a look at the playoffs. Yes, we matched up against a tough Winnipeg Jets team who, you know, during the regular season, I mean, they were, a win and a loss by Nashville away from, being the number one spot, right? So, I mean, really, I mean, it's not like this was a pushover Winnipeg team that we should have went in and destroyed. Mm-hmm.
They never have been.
Right. We like to think that, the whole season is horrible because, the Wild just lost in five games in the playoffs here. But really, I mean, it was a very successful season, if you ask me, season-wise. Playoffs, now that, it didn't work out for us very well in the playoffs. Yeah. Right. But, you know, somebody's got to lose.
So that's how it ends up. So last one that
I think you need to just read this one straight up because we got a word in there that we need to cheers to.
Okay.
And drink to.
Okay. Signing Zach Parise and Ryan Suter in 2012. Obviously, I'm going to break away from the copy a little bit. But obviously, I remember us doing our podcast and rejoicing.
July 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was July 4th. Yep. And
I was down in the marina with my brother-in-law, and we both looked at Twitter at the same time. And we're like, holy shit.
Down in Afton.
Down in Afton, that's
for
right.
For the Afton Parade. Yeah, buddy. I'll see you there this year.
All right. All right.
But I know everyone was happy about that. Uh-huh. Maybe not about the length, but...
And the dollar amount?
I mean, the dollar amount, I'm not paying it, so what do I care, really? Cap notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. And so as the copy goes, disregarding the 13-year contracts that arguably have handcuffed...
Handcuffed.
Wait for a carom.
have obviously handcuffed the organization. The Wild went from missing the playoffs for four consecutive seasons.
Caroming off the playoffs.
They caromed out of the playoffs.
Yeah. To making the playoffs 6 years in a row. Parise is the third leading goal scorer in Wild history, fifth leading scorer. I don't know what that means. And points in general. 275 yeah. points. Suter's 255 points are first among defensemen. So, obviously, we've picked up quality talent. I don't think anyone's disregarding that.
No.
The problem is
the length.
The length and the cap space, because yep. we're now in a cap-restrictive environment where those cap hits are serious, you know?
So, when you get $20 million sitting on IR in the playoffs... Which, technically, that's not even the case because those guys don't get paid for the playoffs. They get paid for how far they go into the playoffs. But that's a quarter of your cap space that is sitting on IR with two players.
You can't predict that, though.
You can't, no. But the point is, that's $20 million that's used up that you could have a few, four or five other solid players.
That sounds like a bunch of shoulda, coulda, woulda to me.
Right.
You know,
well, that's what this whole...
You could have five mediocre players or you could have one better player. I mean, that's part of the problem is...
We could have had Mario Lemieux, but...
That's kind of where this question is going, though. Is it worth giving these guys this contract for that amount of money? Or do we have some, like... Are they the ones that make that big of a difference that'll get us that?
We could have had Gordie Howe, but he would have been a zombie.
brain.
This does kind of go back to my question earlier about whether Parise and Suter were, you know, there, if that would have made a difference on this season or this series here. And I, you know, maybe not in that last game. You know, if you take that as the, you know, how things went. I think by the time we got to that fifth game and things got out of hand early there, I mean, the writing was on the wall at that point, you know. Yeah. It was pretty much done for. But I think if you go back to a couple of those earlier games in Winnipeg even, had we had somebody like Suter in there at defense, I think, yes, there's a great possibility that him eating up some of those minutes and maybe having some of the younger defensemen, you know, gazing on from the press box, I think that, you know, it definitely could have made a difference in how this series worked out. And, yeah, it sucks that money is sitting on, you know, IR, but take a look and tell me how many games Suter missed over... his entire years here.
Well,
how can you predict that?
I mean, both of those were just kind of bad fluke injuries that you would not expect.
Right.
The thing that I'm looking at is that given the market in 2012 when they were signed, in the offseason 2012 going into the 12-13 season, to have two marquee players come available at that point in time to buy up.
Sure.
How could he turn that down?
It was huge.
Plus the fact that they're local, semi-local, right?
Yeah.
They're invested in the local scene.
Farm boy across the border.
Whatevs.
Close enough.
But the fact that they're... To have those such marquee players come due at the same time, and you had the money to pay for it. Sure, you needed to wiggle it a little bit, right? You can't foresee how it occurred with Parisi's back injury and Suter and stuff like that.
Sure.
How do you not do that move?
How do you not roll the dice and just go for it, right? Well, and so I got to give Fletcher props on that. I mean, he rolled the dice. Sure, the Wild as a family did not put it all together. But is it on Fletcher and is it on the Suter and Parisi contracts?
Any GM that was in that spot would have
done the fucking same thing. Well,
exactly.
And it's not like there weren't other GMs trying to get those guys as right. well. So.
And I believe Fletcher got it in below the offering price of some other
I think you're right. Because I don't think Nashville wanted to let go of Suter, nope. And I don't think New Jersey wanted to let go of Parisi.
Right.
And I think both their respective teams offered more money for both of them to stick mm-hmm. around.
But they wanted to play together and
they wanted to play at home.
And it worked that it was close to home for either one of them. So
that according to Russo, that was Fletcher's best moves that he made in his tenure. Let's look at some of his worst moves.
His worst moves.
Ooh. Molson Canadian.
Oh, this will be fun.
anyone want to have a Molson Canadian?
Cam Barker for Kim Janssen and Nick Letty's rights.
Whoa.
That was one of his first big blockbusters. That was a brutal move.
According to Russo, Fletcher has admitted this error over and over again, so he knows he...
Yeah. That was
screwed the pooch on that one.
That was a misstep. I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. Acquiring Martin Hansel and Ryan White before the 2016-2017 trade deadline.
That was last year.
Debatable.
With a first and second round pick. Bold move, but didn't do anything.
Bold move, Cotton. But that was horrible. From the game, the flow game.
White didn't do a whole lot for us. Hansel
was—he was a bit of a face puncher, though.
I don't give a shit about like scoring and stuff, but their hair and their whiskey
is greasy,
gorgeous.
Well, White was greasy.
He was greasy, but Hansel, I mean, with the beard going on and the fucking ooh, come on.
But Hansel didn't do much for the hockey team itself.
No. I suppose that's what we should.
All right,
at.
Number
Sorry,
three.
I was just looking at GQ factor, but
man. Trading Jason Pominville and Marco Scandella for Foligno and Ennis. I don't know that this is actually one of the worst moves because Pominville was, you're going to have to give him away with something of value to get anything at all.
Well, he went back to Buffalo that we traded. Well,
what was his downstep in point scoring though? It was 30 points to like 18 or something. And then.
I mean,
he was stepping down hardcore.
Yeah,
it's the regular thing where he would overpay for veterans, mm-hmm. and I think that's.
And how many times have we traded with Buffalo?
He extended Pominville. We can't lose sight of that.
How long do we have Foligno and Ennis for?
We have Ennis for what? At end of the season, I think we have Foligno for another couple.
Foligno got a 4-year contract.
Okay. Yeah.
He actually just signed Foligno to a 4-year contract.
But Ennis, I think, is coming up because I think Felska yelled at me about that. So
can we possibly see?
So it's got to be true.
Yeah.
But can we possibly see an increase from the two of them?
I think Ennis is toast. I mean, he does not have the size to be in the league. I don't know what you guys think. I think Ennis is not. Happening.
All right. Right. This next one's interesting.
Foligno at least can grind on a third or fourth line
somewhere.
And then,
honestly, even though they lost the fourth line in this playoffs, our team on the fourth line, regardless, Ennis was sitting on his duff the whole time. It was Winnick
yeah.
and Foligno, but they looked really solid. So
yeah, if you have a third, fourth line of Winnick and Foligno in there, I'm okay with that. I mean, you don't want to be paying $5 million for a third, fourth liner, so
Ennis,
I'm okay
Ennis
with that.
Can be, yeah.
Yeah, Ennis is you know, flotsam.
6-1.
This next one, Aaron, I find very interesting.
Okay, next one is, I don't know why I'm taking them all, I'm sorry.
I thought I was going to take these, and all of a sudden you just started going, so I'm going to scroll with it.
Signing Martin Havlat as his first big free agent signing. Obviously, that one was a big miss.
I like the rest of this. He's never integrated into the season. He wasn't happy here. And particularly with his ice time under Todd Richards, and ultimately was dealt for Danny Heatley.
I mean, everything about that sentence is terrible.
Yep.
Todd Richards, Danny Heatley, Martin Havlat.
It hurts.
The first two
seasons. That was the bobblehead I knocked over running back up with Aaron's t-shirt with our Danny Heatley that we burned and shot and blew up with bottle rockets.
And now I knocked him over.
The first two seasons
of...
At least
you didn't knock him up.
The first two seasons of Fletcher were really rough. Really rough. And
well, he was also had the Risenborough stuff he was still dealing with, too. Yeah. So it wasn't his team at that point.
No, it wasn't, but he wasn't making prudent moves. He was making moves just to make moves, and that's not a spot to be in, you know? I mean, he was trying to be Dealer Chuck, and at a certain point...
That's about all he had to do with, though. He didn't have much to work with at that point, either.
But the thing is, he dealt away what little value he had.
Yeah.
He would have been better off just staying pat and letting that talent develop and getting good draft picks rather than trying to be competitive with and then dealing away also his talent on top of that.
The last one I think you're going to have to read straight out.
The last one, well, you know, I actually think it's kind of BS because it's take your pick from falling, not finding a way to execute a trade for a whole bunch of people, which I think is actually kind of BS because... That is coulda, shoulda, woulda. I think you can make arguments actually for extending players that he shouldn't have extended, whether it be Pominville, whether it be Koivu, whether it be Foligno. You know, I think you can make an argument as far as extending players that he shouldn't have extended. I think that's way more reasonable than arguing he should have traded for people he didn't trade for.
Yeah, because you can throw that out there. Who knows what the GMs on the other end of the thing would have said.
Right.
So, he got a trade for XYZ, and great, it would have been awesome had they been in the wild, and we can just parrot, you know, think, well, what would have happened?
But, right.
You know, if their general manager didn't want to let them go and could restructure it, then there's nothing we can do.
Well, and, even if you don't want to go off the extensions that he gave out... you go with the expansion draft, which we brought up earlier.
I think he did okay with the expansion draft.
But I think if one wanted to make an argument about it, I think you could say that he did not make the right choice.
I was listening to a local radio station this week or last week with a guy who I'm not going to mention because he is just horrible on the radio.
Let's put it out,
huh? A dude called in and basically was complaining about the fact that we let go of Hala because of how well Hala is doing in Vegas. And I'm going, here's the thing. You can say that all you want, but Hala would not be getting the ice time or this position that he is in currently with Vegas. He would not be getting that in Minnesota this past season, and he would not be putting up those numbers that he's putting up in Vegas. And I think a lot of people look at that whole thing in the wrong direction, that two players were given up that, yes, are very good players and have been excelling quite well with where they're at, but would not have that opportunity under the current regime that is the Minnesota Wild now.
I think the thing that people look at in that trade is, sure, Hala, 30 goals, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Great. This season, brilliant, right? I think the biggest factor in that trade is not Hala and his point scoring, but as Alex Tuch, because
I think you just combining the two of them is it makes it really bad.
Right, but when we drafted Tuch, he was like the first player in a long time that they drafted specifically to fill a need.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big, solid 6'4" winger, right?
The fact that they gave up two of those players, though, they could have given away one player that was close.
If you're looking at GMCF and his plan,
sure, there was a hole there. We needed a big winger, like sizable player and a winger. And for the first time in forever, we fucking drafted for one, and we got one. And he started coming up. 6 games into the season, we're like, you know what? No, we're done. And they left him. They let him go. And what big winger do we have to fill the position?
Jordan Greenway.
Now.
Right.
Right. But at that point in time, at that point in the season, you didn't know how long Greenway was going to take.
Yeah.
Right? But Tuck was there. Tuck was ready. And they were willing to give him up. I think that's a big loss. I mean, sure, I love Eric Holla, and I'm sure you're going to play the old... you play that gif, but... right? I mean, he's in a better position in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. Under
a better general manager.
But that's coaching, though. That's not a slam on Holla, though.
No, it isn't. And it's them seeing, okay, these are the skills that he can bring to the game in our way of playing. And just slot him in there.
We always saw that shot of brilliance, even underneath Yo, where Holla would get called up.
I hated him.
Yo, he was always in Yo's doghouse.
He was.
Yeah, I swear he was banging Yo's wife, and I'm sticking to that theory.
Well, he saw those hip thrusts, so.
That's right.
but, I mean, as much as I would love to have kept Holla here, there wasn't that position for him to excel like he is doing in Vegas. And I
think that's patently untrue. I mean, you've got so many third and fourth line guys that are not producing. Are you saying the Wild couldn't have used a 30-goal scorer? That's ridiculous.
But would he have been a 30-goal scorer on the third or fourth line?
What if? I mean...
I know. That's 6-1, half dozen of the other.
Right.
Honestly, I would have rather had Holla there than Ennis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Ennis, I don't think.
And Ennis got like plenty of second line time.
Yeah,
you don't think Holla on a second line couldn't have put something together?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe with
another case of what ifs.
Yeah, it is. So,
well, what if dude would have been called for the cross check and kicked out of the game?
Okay, going through the other.
I'm gonna have a shit sandwich for dinner.
What if I wouldn't have been.
Okay. All right. Going through the other Fletcher big moves, just kind of a quick hit here. I think one that was missed was Brent Burns.
Yeah. Being
traded for and a second round pick for Setoguchi, Coyle, and a first round pick.
Where is Setoguchi right now?
Rehab, again? I think.
He's up at Setoguchi.
State Park.
Yeah, State Park.
Setoguchi
State
Park, right?
Yeah.
There we go.
Where's Burns at?
You're
still in the playoffs?
Number, yeah. 18?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was big. I mean, I'm still reeling over that one.
Yeah, so we had that one. There's, like I said, multiple extensions, dubious extensions. Backstrom would be one. Harding would be one.
How many extensions do we see? And then like the next year we see a buyout.
Brodziak would be one. I mean, I wish this was the end of it. Keith Ballard was, that was not the greatest one.
I think Ballard could have been useful though for the development of the D.
Could have been. I mean, he had that, hit by, who the hell was it?
And he got taken out, and he couldn't.
Yeah, I mean that was like the worst hit.
And that was
Yeah, that was not.
What about Mike Riley? Later, I mean, like he signed him to a 2-year contract, and all of a sudden trades him like right after.
Yeah, you know, there's just, you know, you sign Matt Cook, and then you end up buying him out.
There was a few of those.
Yeah. You buy out Vanek after signing him.
Bonneville, right? Didn't we buy out Bonneville?
We traded him.
It was
basically a fire sale.
Cam Barker we bought out.
Yep. So there's plenty to go around.
Which I'm sure that's with every
Cam
team.
Cam Barker, how do I even remember?
no one wants to remember him.
Okay.
yeah, so, you know, you bring in Briz, and then you release him.
Well, nothing's as bad as what Boston did with the Briz buyout.
And then trying to get him back, right?
Yeah.
I think Briz is still getting paid from Boston right now.
No,
Philadelphia.
Yeah, Briz is doing all right. You know, Briz is doing all right.
And now he's commentating during the All Star game.
We traded for Matt Molson.
Molson.
Yeah.
Molson ice.
We let go.
He was just dead cold.
Christian Follin, who is now still in the playoffs, he's rocking and rolling.
Yep.
I know. I personally
have a problem with that trade because that's.
I like Follin.
It's the way it goes.
I like Follin.
And his ability to grow a good looking beard in the playoffs is.
Well, that's second to none.
Yeah,
it is true.
But he was a free agent. We just let him go, so it's not even a trade. Because
that's business, I guess. Sometimes you gotta just accept that you can't.
I don't
sign them all.
I don't have to. I don't have to accept
when you
it.
Have 70 something million sucked up in two players. You can't afford Nolan.
This is
carry
fair.
On. Next question.
This is fair. This
all is right. Fair. I think we're into some Twitter talk.
Yeah, let's do that. Why not?
Beef down on.
Oh, Twitter talk. GMC, okay, yeah. First question. Next question. First question from at Kreese insists that.
Kreese is really going off the Kubitin thing.
Yeah. Teresa in chat is saying Anton Khudobin.
Multiple times.
Well, he could have been good, but he wasn't that good. So. All right.
And that'll put an end to that.
First question from Derek Falska at Kreese insists. How empty is an apology from an official during the game? As with the case with the Morrissey hit on Stahl, was it bad? Was it as bad as someone running over a person's dog with a car and then saying they were sorry, or is it something else? Love to hear your analogies.
I think we've already kind of covered this. That
it was bad. I mean,
they need to be able to do something about it. If it's to the point where
this is not the first time this has happened.
No, but
in a wild game,
if it's to the point where an official actually apologizes, they should be able to go back and change that call, at least kick the dude out for the game, or make a post hit call on it. My opinion.
Yeah, but you know, I think he's looking for analogies here, and I mean his analogy of you know running over a person's dog. I mean, that's pretty good. You can say I'm sorry, but it's not going to really...
Bring the dog back.
It's not going to bring the dog back. It's not going to change anything.
I honestly don't know where your wife is buried. I'm sorry.
You know, there was no loss of life here. Stahl was able... Excuse me. To get back out.
Josh, sorry,
I'm
old. Past your
bedtime. I'm an old man. Yes, you guys kept me up late. No. you know... So, you know, Stahl was able to make it back into the game. So, really, I think that, you know, more of an analogy might be like, you know, when you're walking past somebody and you accidentally bump them and maybe you cause them to drop their groceries or something like that. I think that's more in line.
Right. It's you can't fix it in the back end, but you can do is help them pick up their apples.
Yeah. And oranges.
Yeah. All right.
The eggs hopefully are gone. Not the eggs. The eggs are gone.
The eggs are gone. The bananas are bruised.
The apples and oranges are retrievable. All right. Man, that's deep.
All right. Next question coming in from Kreese and Assist. I know in the past we've teased the Sharks for a lame goal song. They thought about going with, but is this the Sharks' duck hunt theme towel?
What?
The best game night for a... I can read even tonight, too. let me start creasing assist question over here. I know in the past we've teased the Sharks for a lame goal song. They thought about going with, but is the Sharks duck hunt themed towel the best game night fan promotion for in a long time? And you know, what could the Wild do to?
I actually like really like the Ducks.
I killed that.
Their towels. because it literally had like a shark going after the ducks, and they had a shark with the two guns in place of the dog. And I think they were great. I think it was good on them. It was good marketing. Good for it. I mean, what could the Wild do like this? I mean, they could do Nordy doing the exact same thing if we play the Ducks in the playoffs. I mean, and they could have done that, was it 2 years ago? I think when we played Anaheim in the playoffs.
That was a little more than 2 years ago.
Okay, well, whatever.
Regardless, that
was a while ago.
I mean, it's the Ducks. That's an easy thing to just kind of do the duck hunt thing.
Yeah.
Did the Jets, we could have done some sort of like Top Gun thing on our towels as you're like flying against the Jets, like a heads up display.
But when you take a look at it, remember back to earlier in the season. Some of the commercials that the Sharks had released with Burns
and Thornton.
Yeah.
But they kept releasing
wine. Yeah. And I mean, I think they had some creative marketing going
their,
on.
Their marketing's there, going you know? On. I think Dallas here, has here had we've some got, decent marketing, too.
Yeah, here we've got our ice.
No, I mean, the Wild could have come up with something with, like, anti-aircraft missiles or something.
Yeah, yeah, like a heads-up display, like Top Gun style.
Yeah.
No, here we've got our ice.
Next question. Next question from Crease and Assist. Do you get the impression after the last few Wild failures in the playoffs that this team lacks the want to do what is necessary to win in the postseason, as they have just 4 playoff wins in the last 3 seasons? Hashtag happy to be here.
Did you have to point that out?
I don't think the team does. I don't think you can put it on the players as a whole.
Nobody wants to walk out a loser. I mean,
are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that nobody wants to walk out a loser. Sometimes you might not have all the right pieces in the place to take you as far as you want to go, but nobody, nobody wants to walk out.
There's too many
loser.
Factors that come into it that,
it's not like you're making it to the playoffs and then you're just going to mail
I'm good,
it in.
I'm good, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what? I made it to the first rounds, bruh. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from @Jody_Halvey. Are there any guys you can think of around the league that could be in need of a change of scenery that we could trade? Coyle, Brodin, or Nino? I'm also in favor of moving Stoller Dubnyk. What do you guys think?
Well, and I know we've got a... Do we have another question? I don't see it. Maybe it got axed.
Frost probably asked it. Jerry just mixed it.
As far as what we do with this team, if we're trying to unload people, if you unload Stahl, do you move him as part of that? And
you could probably get a lot for him at this point right now.
Right. I mean, get a year of trade a year of Stahl for a handful of prospects, and that doesn't seem like a bad prospect.
It doesn't.
You know?
I would like to see the Wild do right by Stahl, though, as well. And, I guess basically by doing right by him, what I mean is, if he wants to, be moved somewhere where he's got the potential to maybe go win a cup actually one more time before he retires, then do that. If not, if he's enjoying the scenery here in Minnesota and likes being close to home, I think that the Wild should respect him for that and do him right.
So the question that's not really being asked is, do the Wild, whoever takes over as GM, do they risk trading away a bunch of players and alienating Parise and Suter? Because,
They sign the contracts. If we're stuck with them, they're stuck with us.
Right.
I would say what they need to do in the next couple of years, 2 to 4 years, would be to bank up a bunch of early round draft picks. Because that's what we've not had.
Mm-mm.
For a long period of time.
Right? And Fletcher traded some of them away.
That's right. So given the fact that Fletch traded them away, we've not been able to get like the Austin Matthews and, the Connor McDavids and stuff, because we've just not been in that position.
So if there's the ability to kick off some of our players for a bunch of early rounders, we get a better ability to pick that gem who's sitting in the wings waiting to be drafted early, and we have a better ability to do that.
I think Felska had posed a very good question on Twitter earlier about how does a team go on now with the new GM? Do we just trash everybody, be bad for 4 to 5 years, and rebuild with some new prospects?
No one wants to see that, though.
No.
You can't do that!
You know, how does this new GM go on?
He's going to start being able to make his own, you know, moves here.
Well, he's going to be handcuffed with some of these no-trade, no-movement clauses.
But he is going to have, some hurdles. It's not like when Fletcher took over, he didn't have anything, you know, left over from the previous.
I don't know if Risenborough left him with eight years left on contracts. Yeah.
That's true, but, you know, back then, those types of contracts weren't being handed out. Those types of contracts now are getting to be, you know, it's happening more often.
I actually wonder, you know, even if you disregard the opinions or thoughts of Koivu and Parisi and Suter and anyone else that we might have a longer term commitment to, how much room do you actually have to make change? Because they're taking up a significant chunk of your payroll.
Any GM's not starting off with their team. They're starting off with somebody else's team, and they're starting off with somebody else's deficit at that point.
That's how it always works.
Oh, it is.
It is.
And you got to be willing to ask the question of your top players. It's like, are you willing to restructure
for the betterment? I don't see that happening with the top contracts.
I guess what
but
I'm
you
saying.
You can ask that question. Are you willing to, for the betterment of the team? And that will give you a gauge of how invested these top guys, are invested in the betterment of the team for the long run.
And with as injury prone as they've been lately, are they even going to make it to the end of their contract?
Hold on. Do not call Suter injury prone, please. You can't.
That is ridiculous.
Actually, that one is
you
pretty
can't
ridiculous.
Do that.
You can't do all that, right, dude. I mean,
like, but if you gotta sit there and quick trip and eat your fucking beef jerky,
hey,
come on,
dude,
drink your milk.
Though, the guy broke his ankle.
Unforgivable. He should have been in better condition.
Right.
Weak.
What kind of hockey player has weak ankles?
Come on. He even gets up after.
Paper Suter.
Right. He even gets up after he breaks his ankle and gets back to the front of the net.
I mean, it's not like he like moves that quick that he's using it very often.
It probably only took him 2 steps.
I don't know. That farm boy toughness came in right there because he moved himself back to the front of the net, and then he finally collapsed. I think, you know, under the sheer weight
of his contract.
God, give the guy a break, man! Really, I mean, he might glide around, but he makes good defensive plays.
But is he willing to look at the betterment of the team for the long term and say, I don't need $13 million a year?
He's a true Midwestern boy. I bet he would be.
I think his dad is rolling over in his grave over his broken ankle. So
he should have been playing in the playoffs.
Strap it up, pussy ball.
And on that note.
Next
question. Is it me?
Yep.
All right. At Crease and Assist, are there any plans in the works for third annual 3 in the BBQ this summer? If so, what can fans of the show who have not attended the show in past can expect? Wario Racing, perhaps? Probably not Wario Racing because I don't own a Wario costume.
Do we have to rent go-karts?
Race
around the lake?
We could maybe do a lake race. There will be a barbecue.
There will be a barbecue.
Yep.
We haven't figured out
more details to come.
We haven't figured out when
or where. Well, probably street hockey.
Yeah, it'll be a raft somewhere in the middle of a body of water.
Yeah,
it'll be like
Party Barge.
Lord of the Flies.
Yep.
The Love Boat.
I think Jive's mixing up his...
Oh, that's the Vikings.
Jive's got a whole different idea in his mind.
I'm thinking of the Vikings, I guess, right? So, well, what was the Vikings cruise out there on?
That was a Minnetonka.
Yeah.
Well... That's a reference. I
was looking at boats on Lake Minnetonka yesterday.
See,
they're all way too expensive. Though, oh, so. Okay.
Jive.
All right. Next question comes in from
skip mine.
Hankless.
Hank Lee 89.
Hank Lee, not Hankless. Hank Lee 89. Sorry, I've got old man eyes on here. Do you think the Wild
Control plus I'll zoom that in for you in case you're wondering.
Thanks a lot. Do you think the Wild should look to trade and package a guy like Eric Staal, or whose contract is pretty cheap for his production, with someone like Ennis and dump the salary? Or is that maybe to move Staal to a contender where while we rebuild?
Keep Staal.
Oh, no. If not, keep Staal. If not, maybe.
No, I'm saying keep Staal.
Maybe it's time to move Staal.
Really, the question is, do we rebuild? Do we move Staal? Do we move anyone who's not bolted down? Rapid fire. Kenny.
Keep Staal.
Kenny.
Keep Staal.
So no rebuild.
Nope.
I'm not voting for a rebuild. I'm not against moving Staal. If we can get something pretty decent in change, as noted here, I mean, it's actually not that expensive.
Rapid fire. Contract.
Rapid fire.
Okay. It's not that expensive. Okay. Contract. So
keep Staal, no. Restructure Suter and Parisi.
Okay. Done.
And I'm going to say you're probably not going to be able to restructure them as much as I would love that in a fever dream. Staal, keep them because.
You're not going to get that kind of production for that price.
No, and you're going to alienate your season ticket holder base, and really that's what matters a lot in this league, is making sure you retain those season ticket holders. All right.
From Hankley89, with the Wild being hamstrung by awful vet contracts, should any of the team's core, Nino, Granny, Coyle, Brodin, etc., I don't know if I'd consider them the core of the team.
No, I think that's like the core of the young guys.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll give you that. Be safe this offseason, or is it time to blow it up as much as possible instead of being stuck in just good enough to reach the playoffs limbo? We're gonna have to blow it up. And again, let's rapid fire this. Let's go the other way around, Aaron.
What's the question?
Does the core, do they stick around? Or do we just fire sale, blow it up, and just nobody's safe?
Normally when you do a fire sale, you don't get rid of everyone. You retain a few key parts. So I don't think all the young guns are going to be gone. So
yes, we're not blowing it up.
Is anybody possibly on the chopping block to rebuild?
I'm going to say Nino's on the chopping block. I think Coyle is. I think Brodin is. I think Granny and Zucker are pretty safe. That's my call.
Chris.
All right, I think you got to look at who's coming up in the draft and what can you do to reach up to those potential picks. And then depending on what that situation is, then you go from there.
Jive.
Yeah, we're not looking to blow it up, I don't think, at this point. While you might move one or two of those pieces... I don't think that it makes sense at this point for a team that, has consistently been into the playoffs and had several 100-point seasons now. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're looking to blow anything up. It's not the end of the world here, folks.
We're not the Florida Panthers.
Right.
Next.
You didn't answer.
Oh, I did not. I say, nobody's safe right now. Put them out there. They all have, enough contract and enough cap hit that, we could get a couple of potentials out of it, and at this point, maybe it is time to kind of start looking at it, doing a rebuild and start to get some picks, higher picks for it. And, See what happens.
The sky is falling.
Okay, we're already running late, so I'm gonna now institute
rapid fire everything.
This is now the Tom Hain inaugural rapid fire round. first question: with Fletcher gone, do you think Leopold will look for an up and comer or experienced GM to replace him? Frosty.
Up and comer.
Up and comer.
I'm gonna go with experienced.
I'm going to go with experience as well.
Are you experienced?
So we're 50-50. No, I have I have no clue what I'm talking about.
There we go. Nice. Us old guys recognize that.
Yeah.
I recognize it.
I knew it.
I don't like it, though.
Not quick enough, son.
Do you hear?
Man, I mean, Jimmy, when we're all along the watchtower.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all about the cross-town traffic.
Well, you are no foxy lady.
That's right.
All right.
I'm just in a purple haze.
Do you think...
Damn it.
Another quick question. Do you guys think, this is also T. Hain, do you think Bruce Boudreau sticks around, or will the new GM want his guy behind the bench?
Boudreau stays.
One more year for Boudreau, at least.
Boud's 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think Boudreau has definitely, solidified a spot around here as long as he wants to stay.
Derek is saying Derek for GM. He's promoting himself. Sorry.
Okay.
also from T. Hain 88. Aside from the vets with the immovable contract, should any Wild players be safe from a trade? Let's go the other way, Jive. Yes or no question, bud.
No.
No, it's not. Should any player... I would say you have to name the players.
Okay.
I will start. Any Wild player safe from a trade, I'm going to say, like I said before, Zucker and Granny. That's what I'm going to say.
I'd say no one's safe from a trade.
Given the right price.
Given the right price, but
yes.
What's out there for? How can you package if you're not willing to give up Zucker, for example? How can you package someone like Coyle to get enough return back?
No one should be safe. No. Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah. No one should be safe.
No one should.
It's varying levels of safety, though.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm really going.
It's a free market. It depends on the market.
Yeah.
No one is irreplaceable.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going back with no. Nobody's safe. I think anybody without a move contract, or I think they're all. Everybody should be on the chopping block right now.
All right. Has there been a more disappointing quartet in the playoffs the last three seasons than Coyle, Zucker, Nino, and Granny?
I haven't seen one personally.
Anyone from Dallas?
Or Colorado.
Yeah. Don't talk about Colorado. They're still in it.
No, they're not.
And they, did they get evicted?
They're evicted.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
By 5-0. Okay. Like the Wild.
Oh, then good.
See?
So,
suck at a dater.
So I'm going to say there are, they're their worst.
All right.
Jive.
All right, who brings more return in a trade, Zucker or Dumba?
Zucker.
An offensive defenseman, though, is pretty enticing.
Okay, Dumba, got teams. It. Kenny, next question.
If it's indeed time to move some pieces.
Wait, cut out 20 minutes.
Just to wait till he starts speaking New Zealander.
No, that's my final question.
In all this banter.
Which way does the toilet flush?
Which way does it flush? In all this banter here, I could have finished my answer. Go ahead, Kenny. What's your question? Damn it.
If it's indeed time to move some pieces to go in a different direction, does it make any sense at all to extend Stahl, who will be 35 when the extension starts, or move him at the draft while his value is still sky high?
Don't extend him. I think...
You say move him?
If you can get the right deal, move him. If not...
Hang on to him for his price.
If you move him, you better be moving a whole bunch of other pieces because the fan base is going to be in an uproar.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I was kind of leaning to. What is it depends on the market. How many first or second rounders can we get? McDavid like people. If not, hold on to them, but don't extend.
Yep.
Aaron.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll. Okay.
Jive's gonna just stop answering.
You don't want to hear my answers anyway. I'm just here to push buttons.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Oh, good. We actually have a producer now. Can I mute his mic?
All right, finally? All right. With one goal in the last 3 years and 16 playoff games, does the Wild extend Zucker or move him at the draft? I think they're keeping him.
Yeah, I think Zucker has definitely improved year over year, so they're keeping him.
Just keep him.
I'd say he's going to stay.
All right, it's consensus. Next question comes in from T. Hain. With the front office shakeup, can we expect this year to... This is the year the team will finally part ways with the Greenlay paws. And a group gets a professional in the booth. So is Greenlay gone?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the Wild's calling.
I think the bigger question is, do we get rid of the Jive paws?
I admit, I'm probably a little...
Frost, are you looking for a job? I'm probably a little
off tonight.
I'm just waiting for the paws.
You wait. All right, that's gonna come back to you. I've seen some nights from you, Mister.
I'm just wondering, did Tom Hain did he have the day off today?
You should see the stuff we normally have to weed out.
If not, what kind of job does he have? Because I want that job.
Exactly.
Hey, I love it because he asks us good questions.
I like his questions too.
So, y'all can.
So
stop
speaking
hating.
Of Tom Hain,
no, I'm saying you guys like, can stop hating.
Nobody's hating.
I'm usually shit, it's Monday night. I've got like 15 minutes to get in five questions.
So our final question from Tom Hain.
The Tom Hain lightning round.
Tom Hain
inaugural.
That hasn't. It's been.
We need a bumper for Tom Hain's lightning round.
That's not going to cut the mustard.
That's weak. Okay.
Well, that's because this hasn't been very lightning.
All right. So the top two teams in each conference,
like 20 minutes,
going to play each other in round two. When will the league wake up on how to format a playoff tournament?
I don't know when they're going to figure out the tournament.
Yeah. See, that's what you get for making fun of.
I'm going to break this bottle. We're going to go at it.
They play the top players, man.
Man.
You are one pathetic loser.
My mute button.
Mute stupid.
So I'm going to say...
You can't fix stupid. You can still mute stupid. I got gaff tape in my bag, too.
So they haven't heard me the whole show.
So I'm going to say I don't think there's anything wrong with the playoff format right now. I'm okay with it because people are going to hate on it, but whatever, you know? You know what? I hate Winnipeg more than I did last year. And that's
what they want.
That's what they want, and
they want that rivalry.
Mission accomplished.
Yep. Survival of the fittest.
Yep.
Okay. Aaron, I think we'll just let you sum that whole thing up.
All right.
Because it's lightning round.
All right. Actually, I'm going to let Chris answer this question, assuming we're all on the Bruins crazy train.
Oh, wait, who asked this question?
Wait a minute.
Yes.
So this question's coming in from MN Frosty Boy.
Who's that clown?
Assuming we're all on the Bruins crazy train, right? Right?
Right.
I'm not on.
I quantify the statement, I was drinking.
He was texting us this on his way here going, I'm on my way.
He's texting and driving.
There was 30 seconds to go. I was coming along Rice Lake and we were damned.
So I'm
Bruins
on
the Toronto train.
Okay.
I'm on the Toronto train.
I'm on the Winnipeg train.
I would actually root for Winnipeg at this point.
Are we going like the full on like train for the playoffs? I'm going Vegas.
Okay.
Boo.
Yeah.
Gross.
I just want Holla to take that cup and like go.
Oh,
hey.
Hip thrust.
Yep.
Hello.
All right.
I don't know how long Las Vegas can last, if they can. I think overall San Jose looks stronger.
I I wouldn't mind to see Burns raise a cup. I think he's well deserving.
Right. And then he can cut his beard.
He finally. He's in like an 8-year playoff run.
See, and this is the problem that I have with the Eastern Conference is that I love Boston, but I look at the history and I'm happy that Toronto is back in it and really playing good. And they're not just a fluke team.
Sure. So
if they upset the Bruins, which I hope the fuck they don't, then good on them. Go for it.
All right, last question.
Last question comes in from Minnesota Frosty Boy.
Shit, really?
Yeah. with the general manager change, the likelihood of Kaprizov being back in the good graces and into the NHL.
Ooh, that's actually a good question there, Frost. You know,
he's not going to play in Minnesota ever.
I don't
see it happening.
We got a Rubio situation going on
here. If he wanted to play in North America, he'd be here already. That's my opinion.
So you think it's down to him not being willing
or
to
his play agent
in
putting stuff in his head.
Or is it down to the fact that they didn't express enough interest in him in the first place to say, we really, really want you here?
it could be, but Russia is a very big country. Yeah. If he doesn't want to play out, you know, imagine like a redneck, you know, American or even Canadian, you know, whatever, and they get a big offer from a Russian team to go play. They're not going to go play in Russia. Right. No. And maybe I'm not saying he's that way, but I don't get the sense that he cares to play North America. So that's my vibe.
Just because we think we're big shit doesn't mean we are.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
All right, boys.
That's it.
I think we
finally. 90 minutes later.
Gunshot. That's the end of the season.
Yeah. It
is. So we'll be doing another end of the playoffs show sometime at some point.
Who shot who? Because you only did 3 shots and there's 4 of us here.
Who shot Liberty Villains?
No, there was the one single shot.
Who shot JR?
That was you. Obviously, it didn't shut you up. And then there was the 3 for the rest of us.
Get a room, you two. Jeez.
Hey.
Jive, there's one right across the hall.
Jeez, guys.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
All right.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Anyway.
Let's wrap this up. Let's start with the guests.
We'll be doing a show at some point here. End of the season.
Yeah.
We'll blast it out on the Twitterverse or whatever the kids do.
Keep following.
We'll Snapchat it, or
we don't Snapchat.
We'll be on Vine.
What? Oh, wait. The link, or
we'll be on MySpace.
Ooh, MySpace. That's a new one, right?
You want to know what?
That's the original.
Look out for Tom, because MySpace is going to be coming back.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be on Angel Fire and GeoCities, blasting this out.
Yeah. You don't need GeoCities. You got WordPress. You can make your own. Thing and make just get your own domain now, so you're good.
We'll be on that. Yeah. Chris,
you.
Where can people find what you're up to?
They can find me in the Twitterverse at @MNFrostyBoy.
Kenny, how about yourself?
You can find me, and actually, there's gonna be a lot of adventure stuff coming up. I think it's gonna be a lot of like kayaking,
adventure time with Kenny,
biking, concerts at Nostra Kennius on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at @AngryFan. Thanks, everyone, for listening. It was a great season.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Thanks for letting me great crash.
thanks for crashing our party, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
Thanks for the beer.
Thanks for the beer.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah. That's it.
There you go.